Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to the world. Welcome back to another episode of Depression, a podcast hosted by ASEC. Before we get into today's episode, I would like to send a shout out to these following states from America and from here in South Africa. Shout out to Washington, California, and Virginia, who have been supporting me through this podcast, who have been listening to my podcast. I really appreciate your support. And coming back home in South Africa, shout out to Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and Gauteng. And to you, thank you for being supporting me through this road of mine, inviting guests and sharing a very informative insight on depression, bipolar, anxiety disorder, and all other mental illnesses. So let me not waste your time. Here's to another great episode whereas I invite guests to talk more about mental health and let them share their own stories.
No, finally, cut it. Okay, good. Hello.
Hi, I was trying remove all the green out of, I'm sorry, sorry to remove all the green from under my halo, but now let me just like try and fix this real quick. I'm sorry
Okay,
about that.
no problem.
Okay. And I'll still be here to talk. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's 10 o'clock in the morning here. So for you, I say it seems like it's 6 o'clock in Johannesburg.
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock here.
Okay, so it looks like it's okay. Let's try this again. There we go. Much better, much better.
Yeah, much better. Welcome to Depression, a podcast hosted by Asel.
Thank you for inviting me here today. So I do have a few questions before we get started.
Okay.
What is the format of the show? Like, how will you envision our conversation going? Is there
I would say I was going to ask you some questions, whereas you can give an insight on how, so sorry, so that people can how they can gain more confidence.
Okay, absolutely. And
A confidence, resilience, and to overcome shame. So that they can transform
okay.
from shame to worthy, and see themselves worthy enough to do something and not be miserable.
Okay, yeah, no one wants to be miserable.
Yes.
What was I gonna say? When do you think this podcast will be released?
But not next week. I'm thinking next of next week on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. I asked because I'm doing a training on Saturday, the 5th, December 5th. I think that would be probably the same time for you. You're just a few hours ahead. But I wondered if I would be able to announce that. But it may be too late for that, so never mind. I would like to, if that's okay. I didn't give you any of my social medias, I don't think.
Yes, you didn't give me.
Yeah. So I didn't know if you wanted to, I'm sorry, I didn't even ask if you wanted questions or anything like that. So it seems like you have your own questions in mind.
Yes,
But
I have my own.
okay, so then I'll send you my social media links after this.
Okay, no problem.
And of course, if there's, I'm going to promote your podcast as well.
Thank you.
So at the end, will you give me an opportunity to say what I'm doing, what's going on? Because I have a live
Yes, yes,
training,
yes.
all right, in
So,
December. Not December, I'm sorry, in January. Also. January. It's gonna be freezing. Okay. Is there anything else that you would need me to send you that I haven't, like a headshot or anything?
yes, a headshot for the podcast promotion.
Okay. Okay, I think I'm officially ready to start whenever you are.
So we should start. Can you
Whenever you are ready.
hear me? Okay. my first question to you is, who is Lee Hopkins? Sorry, Hopkins.
First question. That's a very good question, because I mean, that's an easy softball one. You should know myself better than me, right? And it's really, sometimes it's really a tough question for people who don't really know who they are to answer that question. And long roundabout way is that I'm a person who has been sad and depressed for a while because I didn't feel like I had any value. And I discovered that I had value, and there's some things that I can do really well. And I find myself being rooted in the things that I do well, like watching for patterns and be able to do that. And I'm pretty good with artwork too. So I would say that I'm a friendly guy who wants to connect and communicate. Yeah.
Is that all?
Oh, the delay kind of like got me messed up because I thought that you were going to say something and I was going to give you some space. So I guess I'm also a polite guy. You could say that too.
Okay. Yeah. Nice to know that. Okay. I was going through your website. So I read your website.
Great.
Before I ask more questions, I wanted to ask this question. Tell us about four ways your good intentions are ruining your relationship with others.
So that's the cheat sheet that I have on my website, right? The four ways that your good intentions will ruin your friendships. And there's so many ways, but four is a nice succinct number. So four ways that you could ruin your relationships with your friends with your good intentions is really by not focusing on what they need. So when you're thinking about your good intentions, you're only thinking about yourself and what you think they want. And that just may not be true. You may miss every time. You just may make up something in your head that you think they want, that they think they believe, and you go and you ruin it. You ruin their relationship with them because you're not listening to them and you don't believe in them. And that's what we want more than anything. You can't have a connection with anyone you don't listen to or understand or trust.
You spoke about something, I don't remember it, but I wrote it down, but at the same time, I don't have the paper on me now. I think it was the previous episode on your podcast.
Yeah, okay. So then I get to talk about I just released an episode yesterday. So part two? Okay, yeah, sure. I have a series. So the last three episodes are Sidestep the Setup, which is the part one, Sidestep the Setup part two, and then the latest
Setup. That one involves the setup. Can you go into context? Like when I was listening to the podcast, it was interesting to me about how a person can. I don't know how can I put this thing. How can I put it? I would say. It was a trap questions or?
Trap questions, yes. Setup questions. So
yeah, setup questions.
To make the analogy, to try to bring the analogy back into the setup comes from bowling. I think of that when I'm bowling. Like the setup is when you've got those pins that are perfectly aligned. They come from the ceiling, they're perfectly aligned and they're right there just for the bowling ball to knock over. So that would be a setup. So a setup question is essentially a question that is asked to you that as soon as you answer, it is going to get you in some kind of disagreement or issue. Like, because it's an emotionally charged question that comes at you And the person who asked you the question really doesn't care about the answer. It's something like, why would you do that? And well, if you drop something on their foot, they don't really care about why you did it. They're mad at you because you did it. And so if you're trying to pay attention to why would you do that, like answer the question in a way that those are one of those things that you might think, well, I need to answer in a certain way, or is there really an answer to this? It gets your mind wandering away from the real issue, which is the fact that they're mad at you, and you have to address the fact that they're mad at you. So for setup questions, I tell people it works really well if you just answer the question, like emotionlessly as possible, as cleanly as possible, because all of their emotion is what you want to address. And you want to give them an opportunity to express exactly what the issue is. So they're talking about how, why would you do that? They really don't care. They want to know that, or they probably want you to apologize for dropping something on their foot. They want you to address the fact that they're hurt, something along those lines. But give them the space first to try and let them communicate that to you. So if someone asked me, drop something on their foot, someone asked me and say, why would you do that? I would say, well, I don't know. I didn't mean to, something along those lines. And then wait for them. Don't say anything else. Let them talk, because they'll probably have more to say, because you didn't get to the heart of the matter.
What does it mean to be socially and emotionally healthy, and why is it important?
That's a great question. You know, right back to the example that I gave, the social, emotionally healthy, health is being able to recognize how you feel and what how you're going to behave, because being socially, emotionally well will help you connect with others better. So just an example that I gave, you could recognize that they're angry and that they really don't care about the question that you asked. So recognize that and deal with the anger, acknowledge their anger. So it also is healthy because it'll give you more agency over yourself. So if you're able to recognize why you're getting, I like to use anger because it's a really easy thing to identify, so I keep pointing back to anger. But if you recognize when you're angry, just you're able to act accordingly. So there's a difference between being mad, there's a difference between being angry and enraged, for example. And you have to be able to know what those things are and the appropriate response for each of those things. So if you're, so just if you're paying attention to that, you'll be much better in situations.
Oh, well. My next question is directed to confidence direction and resilience. What is confidence direction and resilience, and why are they important to social emotional health?
All right. Well, as I said at the very beginning, when you asked me how or who I am, I talked about just being depressed and not having any value. And that's where confidence comes from. So confidence is the first thing that you need to do to help yourself get to a point where, I mean, you feel like you're valued. First of all, you're the only person that can really feel yourself being valued. People can tell you, which is really great and helpful, but it's just one piece of it. You have to actually believe that people, when they say that you're good at something, that you take that in, you'd be confident that you are. Yeah. And when you build that confidence, it's like the next thing you need to do. Well, let me step back a bit. First of all, when you have the confidence, when you get confidence, if you don't get it when you're younger, you know, like you see on TV, I guess there are kids who go to soccer practice and they get to play piano, do ballet and karate. They get to do all these different things to discover what they really like and enjoy. and they get all this esteem from their parents. Their parents say, hey, great, go ahead. I support you. Go ahead, do this thing. If you don't like it, well, go try this thing. Go do that thing. And they get all this opportunity to try and learn what they like so they can become confident at it. And if you haven't had that when you're younger, that support to figure out what you want and who you are, when you become an adult, it's really difficult to pick that up because then you've got all these responsibilities that get in your way. You have to pay bills. You somehow find yourself in a relationship. You don't have time to work on yourself. You get tangled up, those things. And you lose the ability to be your own person and have your own confidence. So when you need confidence in order to figure out what you are good at, and when you figure out that, figure out what you like, and then there comes a direction. Once you like something, once you know that you want something, it's direction. You start heading to that direction. Just unconsciously, very naturally, you gravitate toward it if you like it. So if it's a goal, if it's something out there that's huge that you want to do, and that is something that you love, you start heading in that direction, you'll need some resilience to get there. Because there are going to be pitfalls along the way. There's going to be traps. There's going to be issues. There are going to be people that want to hurt you and see you fail. And you have to be resilient against that. You have to know that you're able to deal with any emotion or any issues that come along the way. So resilience. So when you were starting this podcast, there was something like that too, right? Like what?
Yes.
Yeah. So you had to, when did you figure out that you enjoyed podcasting?
I would say this year. I started this year. I always wanted to talk about mental health a lot, so I decided to start a podcast. That's how it started.
Yeah, I imagine it's because you didn't get an opportunity to talk about mental health.
Yes, mostly in my country, there are not a lot of people that talk about mental health. So that's why I started this podcast, to shine a light on mental health.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like the same. And I live in Chicago, the United States, and here it in the Black communities is just starting to get to be a thing. Like, we have not historically discussed mental health. It's just about just eat it. Don't eat whatever you're feeling, stuff it down. We've got work to do. Forget about it. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
How can everyone use pattern recognition to confront everyday challenges?
Pattern recognition is, well, and I think the biggest issue that we're facing now is this division between everyone. Like, I'm looking at, I guess, my country and the polarization of our political system. And that's just easy to point out. I'm not really going to talk about politics, but it's easy to point out how we're polarized and how we don't quite understand each other. And I'm gonna make clear that I think that people should need to understand each other. And when I say need to understand, I don't mean need to teach anyone anything. So it's not your job to go out and teach someone as a part of your understanding. When I say understanding, I mean that you need to know facts and you need to know characteristics of people. That's for your own sake. That's for your own knowledge. And that's where that pattern recognition comes in. So if you notice a trend, if you notice a pattern with people or with other issues, just if you notice a pattern, then you'll know what is coming next. So after 1, 2, 3, you know that there's 4 there. And that's for you, for your own knowledge. So maybe I can give a better analogy to it. So let's say, like, there are different types of fires. There are 4 different kinds of fires. There's like grease fires, electronic fires, it's just regular wood fires. And there's another fire, I can't remember, chemical fire. So you have all these different fires and you have to treat them in specific ways. You cannot throw water on a grease fire. You'll make it worse. And so when I say understanding, you need to understand what kind of fire you're dealing with so that you can act accordingly. So you've seen a grease fire before in the past. And when you see that these characteristics like this, you come across a grease fire in the wild somewhere and like, oh, I know that that's a grease fire and I can't put water on it. I recognize that this is a pattern. Yes. If I put water on it, things get worse. Recognizing that you've seen a situation before and that you can take that knowledge from the situation and deal with the new situation. So let's say an example of me. I was moving around a whole lot when I was a kid. I think after I reached adulthood, I just didn't feel like I was very comfortable. And so when I turned 18, I have moved just about every 15 months until about 2 years ago. I'm 37 now. So about 20 years, I've moved every 15 months. I just didn't feel safe and comfortable. I didn't even realize what I was doing to create that situation. So I was just moving around, and in every situation, every place I would go, I would do the same things and cause me to feel uncomfortable and want to move. I did that many, many times until I figured it out. Like the last place I got to, this place I'm here, I didn't put pictures on the walls. I didn't really make myself comfortable, didn't find any things to really make myself comfortable and feel like I was home. And so that was just one thing that I recognized I was doing, and it was able to disrupt this entire pattern. So I just looking around like, well, what is just like the last time, looking at that? What did I do the last time that I'm doing right now? Maybe I'll just try something different. So
it's a new pattern.
What's that?
I was saying when you try something, you're starting all over again, creating a new pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And so one of the things that really did it for me with helped me break this pattern of moving, for example, is that, like I said, every year I moved, I used to live in these garden apartments. If you don't know what that is, it's a fancy way of saying in the basement. So I thought, well, I'm going to save money and I'm going to live in the basement of people's apartment complexes. Okay. And one time there was a rat, and I was just a rat. There's a giant hole in the floor, and there was a rat that came in my apartment. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. And I then moved again to a garden apartment. Like, well, that garden apartment is bad. I'm going to move to this one. And this one had mold. It had mold. It was terrible. So I was like, well, I need to just fix that up. No more garden apartments. Just change that right now and see what happens. And so I found a place that really made myself comfortable. And it's like the part of knowing what I like also to help me, it helped me out too, but picking a place that I want to stay at.
Wow. Interesting. What keeps us from being connected? What keeps us from being connected with others, even though we may want to be? So let me repeat the question. What keeps us from being connected with others, even though What keeps us from being connected with others, even though we want to be, even though we don't want to be.
Yeah. You know that, I think I'm getting a little feedback. Good, okay. I think that not being connected comes from thinking that, well, as thinking against yourself for the most part, like not having the confidence in the conversation and trying to connect with other people. So there's, first of all, just believing that they want to talk to you, just believing that they want to have a conversation with you. Yeah, it's because there's sometimes I'm like talking to friends about things, or sometimes it comes in my head like they're looking at me strange, they're making faces. I don't know if they really want to talk about what I'm talking about. I don't know. So then you hesitate. I would hesitate, like, oh, okay, let me just change the subject. And they were listening intently the entire time. So just that kind of thing, like not trusting in the fact that they can set their own boundaries, that they can that you can just, they really want to be with you. They want to talk to you. They want to connect with you. So just believing that. And then also sometimes we don't focus on them. And when I say that, I mean, like, when they talk to you, sometimes you may not listen. Like,
yes,
you're just like glazing over and you're just like not responding. You're slow with it. You're like, oh, can you repeat that? You're distracted. Those kind of things. It makes it difficult to connect with people. So not giving full attention is something that makes it difficult to really create a connection, like not knowing how to really focus intently on the other person.
Okay. What are some of the skills of developing confidence, direction, and resilience?
Sorry, one more time.
What are some of the skills of developing confidence, direction, and resilience?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. So I think I may have touched on this a little bit earlier about just becoming confident. And so it's making sure that you are able to believe in yourself, right? That's what confidence is. Like, you have to know that you do something well. And to start building confidence, the best thing that you can do is experiment, do all kinds of experiments. I don't mean like going to a lab, pouring, you know, liquids and stuff like that, of course. I mean like try things and see if you like them. Pay really close attention to what you're feeling about whatever you're doing. And that's whatever it is, whatever small or big, large thing, pay attention to it. Like, if you've got to wash dishes, just pay attention to how you feel about washing dishes. Is this a chore? Or do you like to just turn your brain off and wash these dishes and it's no big deal to you?
Okay.
Yeah, you're just learning about yourself and what you want to do, because you are the expert on yourself. So you need to know as much about yourself as possible. And with those, when you learn more about yourself, with the confidence, you'll build the confidence that you can host a podcast well, you can talk well. People, you feel confident in the fact that people want to hear what you have to say because you've said it, you've talked to people before, you can see the expressions on their faces, and you know that, oh, they really want to listen to what you've got to say. You can be confident in that.
Why is it that so few marginalized communities develop social and emotional health?
Yeah. So I'm looking back at my experience and I'm thinking that I was not given the confidence, like instilled with the confidence I needed to try new things and growth like that. And that's because our parents weren't given that information. They weren't given the confidence. They just did what they learned. And before that, their parents did what they learned as well. So we get this stuff passed on down to us. Like, for example, the mental health thing we talk about in our communities, we don't talk about that because our parents didn't talk about it, because their parents didn't talk about it, because their parents didn't talk about it. So we get these things passed down to us, and no one has passed down this information to tell us, hey, stop, take a breather. I know that you're angry, but use your words. No one has stopped to tell me that. And so when I'm upset, I would like, I couldn't communicate exactly clearly, like, I'm angry, instead of saying some insults or flipping over a chair or a table, you know, getting really angry. Like, instead of being able to say it, we had to demonstrate it, because that's what we were taught. That's what our parents were taught. So on down the line, and it happens a lot with marginalized communities because we seem to be first of all, oppressed. And then second of all, information is just withheld from us because
Yes.
It's not a priority.
Especially our history.
Yeah, absolutely. South Africa.
Yes.
Yeah, and all over. And marginalized communities all over, man. So how did you get into mental health and so forth? You said you wanted to talk about it, but your parents didn't talk about it, and people around you. How did you just figure out that you wanted to talk about this?
Usually I listen to motivational speakers, so I was inspired by them to talk about this stuff. But before I started podcasting, I started writing down what I felt, whereas I even published my own book, which is a poetry book talking about mental health. So I wanted to up my game, and I wanted to move it to talk and talk about it, and allow people to tell their own stories through my podcast, obviously.
Yes, obviously, because I'm here. Well, yeah, that's really interesting because, you know, all of us, we have our unique journeys, and the thing that really heals us with depression and the reason why we do drugs or we drink a whole lot, that was one thing that I did, is I just drank all of my feelings away, is because there's no connection, there's no one to understand exactly how I feel. No one, at least I thought no one knew how I felt, but there are millions of people who know exactly how I feel and exactly what I'm thinking. And it's just being able to communicate that.
Another thing is that people seem to not believe it when you say you are not alone. When you say you're not alone, you're not the only one who is suffering from this mental illness.
That's right.
It's hard for them to believe.
Yes. And right there, that's a great thing to point out, because one of the keys that I say that I teach to connection is that you might know in your mind that you've had the same experience as I did. And you're trying to communicate that to me. You're trying to let me know that you've had that experience and leave. You're not alone. And if you can't communicate in a way that I understand, then I will never believe it and we'll never make that connection. So it's really important to, back to social emotional wellness, being able to understand how they feel and communicate to them that you understand how they feel. Like, so you felt lost and alone and like no one was there for you. Yeah, that's a terrible feeling to have, to be like, you don't think that anyone understands what you're going through. Like you're never going to feel any better. Nothing's ever going to change for you. That's a hopeless and terrible feeling. And I know what it's like too, because I've drank myself into a stupor many times. I've moved around looking for people to try and connect with my entire life. It's awful, but it's not the end. It's not over.
Yeah, things do get over.
Yeah. And
for example, I think my episode, it was episode 16 where I interviewed a guy who has bipolar disorder. He says he has no friends because people think people with bipolar are dangerous to themselves and to other people.
Wow, that's so interesting. I can definitely see how he would think that and feel like that, because like there are definitely stigmas around it out there, especially for mental health. That's why you're doing the podcast, right? To shine some light on that. And as far as him being afraid of having friends, or not afraid of having friends, but him running into people that are always afraid of him, I would say that my best friend is bipolar. And we talk about things that happen. We talk about how he gets manic. We talk about how he gets depressed, because he's able to communicate that to us, to me. And then we talk about it. And I talk about my things, how I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling up, or we celebrate things with each other. The point is, we have communication with each other. And he's bipolar, and he's done many things on a manic run. He's done many things in depression. And they've been really sharp things, really low things that I just talked to him about. I don't feel like he's a danger to me at all. So that person, there are things out there for that. He actually also goes to a bipolar group so that he can talk about just that, because there's so many people that believe that they can't have any friends because they're bipolar. There's a group of people out there who do that. Yeah. So if you're out there and you're listening, man, email me, patternsofpossibility.com, and I'll hook you up. I will, because it's everything's virtual now, so you should be able to, if anybody's out there who's interested.
Hey, okay. How can we use these tools in these uncertain times with COVID and visible racism?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is one for, I would like to draw back this fire analogy. It's like the analogy with the fire. So I just believe that knowledge is power. And we've heard this all over the place. We know knowledge is power. The more you know, the more powerful you will be. So when I say in these times of COVID and racism, you need to really be able to understand how other people feel. That's a thing to make this connection. You need to be able to bridge the gap and understand what they're thinking and feeling, and then communicate that you know how they think and feel. That gives you the ability to bridge the gap. And I'm not saying that that's an opportunity for you to try to teach them anything. You don't have to. You're doing all the learning. When you learn, you're understanding. You understand, you're learning from them. So you learn how to move, you learn what you need to learn from them. And if you want to keep a connection with them, but being able to understand how they feel and then communicate to them that you understand how they feel will help you make better connections. People are lonely in COVID times, and people just want to be understood more than they want to be socially connected. I know that I miss giving people hugs. I really do. I'm a single man. I live at home. I live alone, but I live alone. So I miss giving people hugs, but I do want to talk more. I mean, I'm not going crazy. I'm not pulling my hair out mostly because I don't have any, but but it's just because I'm able to talk to people, and that's what we really want.
Yes. Well. Okay, what is on the DCT, and how do you know you being your authentic self?
Your authentic self is when you start building up that confidence. So your authentic self is the person who is the healthiest person that you'll ever be. You are the person who sets boundaries, who says, no, I don't want to do something. Even though you think it might hurt their feelings, you think about yourself more. You say, no, I don't want to do this. Because if you don't think about yourself, if you don't set those boundaries, you fill yourself full of resentment. And so if you really don't want to do something, then being authentic, being real and saying, I don't want to do this, is being authentic. It's setting clear boundaries. It's also being able to communicate who you are. I'm sorry, go ahead, man.
I feel like these questions are some questions I picked up. These following questions are questions that I picked on online of people who are, I would say, are not confident enough to be themselves, and they doubt themselves. But the first question is, when I am in a new environment, do I shift my personality so I can feel like I belong? How can you answer that question?
When you're when, so let me just make sure I got the question. So when they're asking when you're
in a new environment,
they're asking when you're in an environment and they change their personality to fit in?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, that, so how can you adjust yourself so that you don't change yourself to fit in an environment?
Yes.
Well, when you know what your values are, there is no question about your actions. What I mean is that if you know that you aren't going to be a person who follows, you know that you don't want to jump off a bridge. That's a saying. And if everybody that's around you is going to go jump off a bridge, and you know this for a fact to be true, that you are okay with not jumping off a bridge. In fact, you don't want to, then you would be able to say without question, you won't even think about saying, no, I'm not going to participate, because you already know in your heart that you don't want to do it. So when it comes to not being able to conform or resist conforming to other people, just knowing exactly who you are and what you want is how you do that. And how you know what you are and what you want is by experimenting, trying new things. And when you like something and you're good at it, nobody can tell you that you aren't, because you already believe it. Nobody can tell you that you're not. Nobody can tell Aseko that he's not doing a good job on a podcast, because he's out there doing a good thing. He knows it. He's out there. He knows it. He's doing it. It's simple as that. Yeah, and you can, yeah, yeah, you're right. You feel it, right? It's because it's true. Nobody's going to tell you not to.
My second one is, am I satisfied with life, or are there parts that don't make me happy? Am I willing to challenge what doesn't fulfill me?
Are you willing to challenge what doesn't fulfill you?
Am I satisfied with my life, or there are parts that don't make me happy? Am I willing to challenge what doesn't fulfill me?
Oh, I hope that you are willing to challenge that fulfillment. The whole point of life, in my humble opinion, is to gain knowledge and enjoy, experiment and enjoy your life. And I think the best thing comes from not ever stopping challenging yourself and learning new things about yourself. So if you're not feeling joy and excitement about what you're doing, that is worth examining. To figure out, well, what is it exactly about this thing that I don't like, that I don't enjoy? And then go from there. Because you have to, first of all, you have to know about what you want and who you are. What is this? Why aren't you fulfilled? What is missing? So start asking yourself those questions and imagining what you do want. And your brain is like an amazing, amazing machine. Start imagining what you want, and your brain will start figuring out how to get that for you.
Am I willing to be vulnerable, or do I put walls to protect myself?
Vulnerability is the only way that you can connect with other people. Absolutely the only way you can connect with other people. So for example, I talked about how I drank myself into a stupor, you know, and it's like some people would be absolutely ashamed of that. They would just want to hide that whole thing. People talk about just being like, if they hit rock bottom and they're homeless and they want to hide the fact that they're homeless, or that they did things that many people don't have to go through because they need to make ends meet. They have situations in which they have a bunch of shame, and shame will stop you from doing what you need to be vulnerable. So the only way that you can make a connection is being vulnerable. And I show on my website, I have a training that's going to talk all about that. So I'm going to have one in mid-January. We're going to discuss why vulnerability is important, how to create that vulnerability, and most importantly, without getting hurt. because someone could say something to you, anyone could insult you and make you feel really low if you have all that shame. If you don't have the shame, if you're okay with what's happening, then it's fine. Then it's fine. And part of the reason why people aren't vulnerable themselves is because everyone else is holding up a shield. Everyone else is trying to protect themselves. So we're all walking around each other in suits of armor, not being able to talk to each other, not being able to make a real connection because we're so rigid. But removing the shame, like, so what, you threw up on the steps? So what, you threw up on somebody's car?
Yes.
That happened. It happened. It is. It's okay. You're alive. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, so then just being able to do that. Now, that's a small thing. Like, it's not as big as talking about maybe your childhood. Nothing as huge as that. So when you start small, start with these little things that you're vulnerable with, that you think that you can share, and just kind of pay attention to how people react to you. That's it. So, oh, sorry, the answer, I'd like to just share a little more. So you're paying attention, like, it's an example. This is an experiment that anyone could try who wants to try to be vulnerable. Here's an experiment. What you want to do is take something that you are kind of a little ashamed about, or you think someone will shame you for, and make sure you get comfortable with that thing. That's something that you're okay with sharing, but make sure you get, like, you threw up somewhere a long time ago, and you might think somebody's going to get upset or shame you for it. Oh, you did that? Ew, you're disgusting. Ah. So just go ahead and tell them and then see how they react. The reaction that you want, what you're looking for, is no shame. Like, oh, that's cool, or that's interesting. And then you start opening to that person. You start telling them a little more. Tell them something else that's a little more shameful. Doesn't have to mean the same conversation, but just keep doing that. Keep expanding to see where you can go. I mean, you hit the wall of something that is really important to you and they shame you for it, or kind of important to you and they shame you for it, pay attention to them. Those are the kind of people that you may not want to be so vulnerable with.
Well, let's talk more about shame. Why is shame a roadblock to recovery?
Oh, that exactly. So shame will stop you from growing and experimenting and learning more about yourself. We humans are naturally curious little creatures. We want to know what's going on in our environment. And it's natural for us to try things and fail and do something that causes other people to feel shame, or causes us to feel guilty or shame. The thing is that we feel this guilt and shame because we assign it as good or bad. We assign it with these binary terms in this event. You don't need to. If you start looking at things as if they are just things that have happened, and those are things that have happened, and you have feelings about what happened. So let's say the sky could be falling. A meteor is coming out of the sky, and boom, it hits some desolate place out there, and they show it on the news. And I'm watching the news, and Seiko, you're watching the news. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, wow, that is fascinating. Wow, it's amazing. Nobody got hurt. It's great. And then Seiko, you might look at it and think, well, this is scary. The world's about to end.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. One thing happened. Two of us have different views about it. I'm fascinated by it. What can we learn by this whole thing? You were terrified of it. You just want this to stop. Venting and just saying, this happened. What did I learn? Not this happened. Oh, my God, it was terrible. Or this happened. Oh, my God, it was so great. This kind of what happened. Take a neutral look at it. That'll help you get rid of the shame.
Oh, wow. Okay. How to overcome shame and build self-confidence.
So one thing that I did was just recognize that I did feel shame about what was going on and exactly why I felt shame. And the shame comes from believing what other people think. That's where it comes from. I'm ashamed because I'm afraid of how other people are going to think and look at me. That's what happens. So removing that mindset, becoming comfortable and confident in who you are, that will help you remove the shame.
How to move from shame to worthy?
To what?
How to move from shame to worthy? Like, you are accepting yourself and your flaws, all of that.
Oh, yes. So the key to doing, to making any of the changes in your life is recognizing, of course, the patterns that you have, recognizing what you were doing and accept it as it is. So, I don't know, let's say you wake up every morning and you, I don't know, you let a loud burp and your partner is next to you and they're like, "Hey, you're disgusting, that's awful." And you do it every day. You do it every day. It's like, this is what I do. Well, okay, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why it happens. I just do. It's okay though. I mean, understand that they feel how they feel about it. And don't say that you're a bad person because you're doing that. You're not a bad person. It's just a thing that you do.
Interesting. Anything? Yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, have you like had that experience and like where you had, you know, been shamed because you did something or didn't do something? You can relate to that?
No, I don't relate. I don't relate. I don't do.
You don't relate to feeling shame at all?
No.
That can't be a real thing.
Serious?
Really?
Serious? Seriously, I don't relate.
So, follow up question: are you a robot?
No.
I find that remarkable.
maybe my time is coming. Maybe my time is coming.
Yeah, if you don't have it, don't ever keep it. Don't ever get it. Get rid of it. Everybody wants to get rid of it.
So. anything you would like to add, and where can people find you?
Well, yeah, like I said, and I'm going to be having a training, a free online training. This is going to be in mid-January. So you can find more details about it at patternsofpossibility.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram. I'm there, Patterns of Possibility. And I have a YouTube channel and a podcast as well that you can check out. I think that the podcast is a lot of fun. I enjoy putting it out because I tell in each episode, I give some kind of insight, like agreeing versus understanding, or sidestep the setup, which is all about setup questions. And I tell a personal story, something that's happened to me. And I show you how it has affected me in my life. And I explain how you can change it. So check out theparentsofpossibility.com for that training. Again, it's in January. It's going to be mid-January. I hope to see you all there.
I will leave the link on the description, and I'm planning on releasing this video on YouTube also. It was nice having you on Depression hosted by yourself. I really enjoyed it. I'll be in touch when I have published the episode.
Okay. So are we done recording that part?
Which one? I haven't stopped the recording. I'm still recording.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I just wanted to talk to you because I thought we were ending the show. So I wanted to talk after the show.
Okay, no problem. I'm gonna stop now. Good.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope you gained something from today's episode. And don't forget to rate the podcast, share the podcast, and listen to it, obviously. And thank you. And I would like to mention something. I have started a campaign on Go Get Fund. I started a campaign to help me produce more content, release more episode on this podcast. But the problem is I don't have a laptop. I only have the mic. So, fam, I need your help. I need you to donate. You don't have to donate a huge amount of money. You can also donate as little as $1. And when it comes to here in South Africa, at least at 20 rand. So thank you. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I hope you learned something from what our guest had to say about mental health and holistic practices. So yeah, thank you. See you next time, where I'll be interviewing Lee Hopkins, where we will be talking about patterns and how to recognize patterns. And some would be interested in what we have to say next on our next episode. So thank you.